This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, I'm excited to jump back into this little series that we're doing on the urgency of Bible prophecy. Got a couple more podcasts to go, but I want to talk about some things that directly relate to the topic. Today we're going to talk about reason number four as to why I believe that the urgency for Bible prophecy is greater than it's ever been before. And basically, I want to talk about the times in which we're living. They are these times, you know, as that famous theologian Bob Dylan once said, these times, they are a-changing, or something to that effect. And they certainly are. We're going to jump right into that in just a minute. Also, if perhaps you have not yet subscribed to my newsletter, you can go to jeffkinley.com and do it there. There will be a pop-up box that comes up about 5 seconds after you get on the website and give you an opportunity to sign up for that newsletter. You'll get a free ebook when you do that. But also, I don't send a bunch of newsletters. I'm just not that guy, you know? I get newsletters from people like all the time, and I get so tired of it. And so I ended up just basically unsubscribing to a lot of places just because of the volume of newsletters that I get. But I don't do that. I might send out one a month. I mean, so that's literally 12 a year at the most. That's 12 emails in an entire year. So I don't send out that much, so I'd love for you to be a part of that. And the reason I ask you to do that is because I'm about to send out a very, very critical email about concerning my ministry and the future of my ministry that I'm very, very, very excited about. And I want you to know about it and to be a part of it. It's going to be in video format, so you won't have to read a whole bunch. You'll just have to click on the video link and it'll go straight to the video. So I plan, God willing, to record that today and to have that out late, at the very latest, by Wednesday. So look for that in your inbox. Okay, so let's get on to the topic of the day. We're going to talk about the fourth reason why I believe in the urgency of Bible prophecy is because of the signs of the times, the times in which we are living. You know, at no point in human history have we seen the convergence of Bible prophecy like we're seeing right now. And it is amazing. You know, people say, you guys have been waiting for the return of Jesus. You've been talking about Armageddon. You've been talking about the end times for many years now. What makes you think now is a time that is more important or more critical than any other time in the past? And what makes this so different? Well, that's a great question, and it's a fair question. And I would answer it very simply, that when you look at Bible prophecy, you see, let's just kind of narrow this thing down from both ends, okay? When you look at Bible prophecy, you see on the one hand that the next prophetic event, which I believe is on God's calendar, is called the rapture. And that is imminent, meaning it could happen at any time. There's no, like, it's a signless event. So there's nothing that that is, you know, that we need to wait for to happen in order for that to happen at the moment. But there are some things previous to that that tell us that it is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. One of them is the establishment of the nation of Israel. And God had promised, both not only in Deuteronomy, but in Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, he promised to bring the Jews back to the land. And he's done that. May 14th, 1948, Israel became a nation again. And Jews have been flooding into the promised land since that point. In fact, there are more Jews living in Israel right now than there have been in the past 2,000 years combined. And in fact, there are more Jews living in Israel now than any other concentrated place in the world. That's amazing for a nation that was scattered to over 100 countries for 20 centuries. Their language was dead. And all of a sudden, they've been rebirthed. The language is alive. The people are there. In fact, people are buying one-way tickets to Israel from all over the world. Jews are coming back. And that's a miracle. It's been called the miracle in the Mediterranean, or the super sign of the end times. And it's undeniable. I don't know how you cannot believe in a literal book of Revelation when this literal event that literally nobody saw coming except those who knew the Bible has happened in our world. I mean, it's truly just a miracle. That's all I can say. Well, in order for the events of Revelation to take place, things like the peace treaty with Israel, things like the temple being rebuilt, all these things that are happening, the abomination of desolation, all the things that happen, the persecution of mass amounts of Jews in Israel, all these things are predicated on Israel being in the land. They've got to be there in order for them to have a temple there. They've got to be there in order to be called a nation again. That's happened. That's already happened. So that tells us that, at least from an Israeli standpoint, the stage has already been set for the end times to take place in Israel. And so that validates what the Bible says in my mind. And I hope it does in yours as well. But that's kind of the way it is. All right, now, I want to get further into this, okay? So if on the front end, Israel is in the land, okay? And that's the precursor. That's the kind of the, I don't know if you will, that's the dam that breaks that enables all these other prophecies to start to be in formation. Then what's out there that tells us that we could be close to the fulfillment of these prophecies? Well, a couple of things that dovetail with all this. One of them is the rise of globalism and the push for a one world government. I've been doing a whole lot of radio shows here recently for my new book, Aftershocks, which, by the way, I'm going to do several podcasts on the book that are coming up here very, very shortly. So stay tuned for that. But one of the things that we've seen in the wake of this corona pandemic thing is calls for a one world government. Wow. I mean, the Bible says a one world government is going to happen. And all of a sudden, because of the corona pandemic, people are calling for a one world government. Why? Because there's a global crisis. Global crisis. Now, that's something, those two words are words you need to know in your biblical vocabulary, because as you look around you and you discern the times, you will see that there has to be a global crisis in order for the Antichrist to rise and come upon the scene. And from everybody from Gordon Brown to Tony Blair to Prince Charles to the former General Secretary of the UN, they're all calling for a global convergent government. And many of them are saying, and there needs to be one man to lead it. Okay? So that doesn't tell us that it's going to happen tomorrow, but it does tell us that we are being groomed for that, that we're in a season for that, that the conditions are right for that. And this is what I always relate this to. It's like, When you're the National Weather Service in your area gives you a tornado watch, then that tells you that the conditions are favorable for a tornado to conform or to form. Now, that doesn't tell you a tornado is going to happen immediately or even in your area, but it does tell you the conditions are right. Well, a tornado warning means that a tornado has actually been sighted. Well, we have both tornado watches and tornado warnings in the sense that the conditions are so favorable for these prophecies to form really overnight, almost, some of these future prophecies. But in order for that to happen, certain other conditions have to be met, such as there has to be a big enough global crisis to warrant the world becoming one, or at least most of the nations of the world becoming one under one umbrella led by one man. And that one man is the Antichrist. And I believe that this corona pandemic is something that Satan wants to float out there to see if the world would respond to it, because he wants to jumpstart the tribulation as fast as he can. Why? So that he can sign a peace treaty with Israel, so that he can break that peace treaty with Israel, and so that he can be worshiped by the entire world. Because Satan's long-held ambition is to have been to be worshipped. And we know that from Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, which tells us what was going on prior to Adam and Eve and their fall in the garden, was that Satan desired to be worshipped. He desired to ascend the throne of God. So he wants to be worshipped by the whole world. Well, hello, if that's his ambition, he wants to do anything he can to get that thing going immediately. And so he keeps these crises floating out there so that he can see if the world will become one. He doesn't know God's timetable. He can't make the rapture happen, but that doesn't prevent him from trying to continue to be worshiped in the world, because he is the God of this world. He's the ruler of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air, and he is a great deceiver and our adversary. And so keep that in mind. One world government, that is, we're just on the precipice of that happening. But I don't believe we're going to be here when that actually happens. I believe the rapture is going to take place first. And in fact, I believe the rapture is going to be that crisis that will send the world into global chaos. Okay, so that's one sign. Another sign would be, again, just on the heels of this, the push for peace in the Middle East. You know, the ongoing tensions and conflict in Israel between them and the surrounding Muslim nations is a threat to the peace of the entire planet. And one rogue rocket hitting the right place in Syria, Israel, the Gaza Strip, you name it, could catapult us into World War III. And so that's one of the signs that we are on the edge of that. It's more volatile than ever before. You know, it's like, you know, if there was smoke in your house and the alarm hadn't gone off yet, it's only a matter of time before that smoke reaches the alarm. And that's the world we're living in right now. We're at the boiling point on the stove, okay? We're just almost there at 212 degrees, and it's simmering at the bottom. And at any moment, this thing could boil over. But again, I believe that we will not be here. I believe the rapture will happen. Another incredible sign that I'll give you is the Jewish temple being rebuilt. And there's, you know, some debate over what the exact location of the Jewish temple, whether it's right on the same spot as the Dome of the Rock, or whether it's somewhere beside it on the Temple Mount. There's debate among people about that. I tend to lean towards it being on the side of the Dome of the Rock. However, it's possible, though not entirely conceivable, that the Antichrist could strike some sort of peace deal which would enable the Jews to build their temple on the same Temple Mount as the Muslim Dome of the Rock, as a way to say, look, see, if Jews and Muslims can coexist peacefully, why can't we coexist the rest of the world together? So that's a possibility, okay? But here's the thing. In order for the Antichrist, 3.5 years into the tribulation period, to walk into a Jewish temple, it presupposes that a Jewish temple must have been built. Right? And it's not going to be built in a week. So as soon as he signs that peace treaty, then the temple will likely begin construction. Now, it's possible that some sort of Jewish temple could be in the process of being built prior to that. But I think that because of the ownership of the Temple Mount, which is currently under the jurisdiction of the Islamic religion, then I doubt that's going to happen. So I think that at the beginning of the tribulation, that's when the Jews are going to start rebuilding their temple. But all that to say is, in order for their temple to be built, and for the Antichrist to enter the temple has to be rebuilt. And you say, well, Jeff, where's the evidence that that even could even remotely happen? Well, keep in mind, there hasn't been a temple on that site since 70 AD. So almost 2,000 years. Well, in 1987, the Temple Institute was founded in Jerusalem, in anticipation and the belief that a future rebuilt temple will exist. They have already drawn up blueprints. You can go to their website. I think it's templeinstitute.org. You can see their blueprints. They've already fashioned the sacred temple vessels, the utensils. They've already constructed altars. They've sewn priestly garments together according to Old Testament specifications. They regularly hold training courses for aspiring priests. You can see those classrooms online. They've trained more than 500 to date. They've offered sacrifices just outside the Temple Mount. They're looking for the red heifer that will, according to Jewish tradition, cleanse them enough to be able to begin construction of the temple and to restore the biblical purity that they long for. They've almost had that. They almost had a completely pure red heifer here just recently. So, my friends, they're waiting. This is not some sort of far off conspiratorial prophecy that's out there. I mean, this is real stuff that's happening in your world right now. And you know me, I am not the kind of guy that runs after every news headline and tries to make it relate to Bible prophecy, because I don't have the confidence that it actually is relating to Bible prophecy. But I think that overall, a lot of these things that are happening in the world are contributing towards a world that is making itself conducive for a post-rapture civilization and for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. However, there are some specific prophecies in the scripture that I think we are seeing in their developmental stages, or at least the very least, for the stage being set, okay? Just like a play where all the props are there, but the actors aren't there on the stage yet, right? That's what the Bible's doing. God is setting the stage for the end times. And again, I would never, ever make any sort of prediction about how far off we are. My typical standard answer is, when people say, Jeff, how close are we? I go, I don't know, because I don't. And it could be today, but it could be years from now. I just don't know. And so that's why we have to be cautious and very, I think just a sense of integrity tells us that we recognize what's happening, but we can't go to our calendar and put an X mark on that calendar. Let me give you one more here real quick. One more sign of the times that I believe is, there's so many I could give to you right now, but let me just give you one more. And that's the technology for the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is a specific mark that will be implemented during Antichrist's reign at the midpoint of the tribulation period. It's the Greek word charagma, which referred to some sort of tattooed imprint or an imprint on a coin that detailed someone's identity. And it was used many times in the military to identify subordinates, like say, like a private would say, hey, I want the symbol or the name of my commanding officer, charagma on me. And, or sometimes it was used by slave owners to mark their slaves. It's a sense of ownership, which is very apropos for the Antichrist, because in essence, he is going to own you. He's going to own your soul when you take that mark. And scripture tells us that, that all who take the mark, all who take the mark, will end up in the lake of fire. Not one person will repent. You take the mark, your destiny is sealed. And all who, all Christians who don't take the mark, their destiny is also sealed as well. They will not be harmed in eternity by God's wrath. They will only be harmed by the Antichrist. But let's back to the technology real quick. And I have a whole chapter where I talk about the technology of the Antichrist in this new book, Aftershocks. But the COVID vaccine, as controversial as it is not the mark of the beast. And, you know, you need to use your conscience as to whether or not to take that. But the reason it's not the mark of the beast is because the Bible says the mark will be on your hand or on your forehead. Nobody's injecting the vaccine into the forehead, and it's not visible, or you can't see it. So basically, the mark of the beast, the technology there is that we have everything from epidermal tattoos to biometric scanning of images and infrared images that go on the hand right now. And again, I go into great detail about this in the book, but it's there right now. I mean, this is not futuristic sci-fi stuff. This is right now, real kind of stuff. And that's another sign of the times. I mean, at no point in the past 2,000 years could Antichrist stamp or mark the planet. He just couldn't do that. Now he can. I mean, think about how the vaccine, I mean, think about this, is the whole rollout of the vaccine to me is a trial run for the mark of the beast, in that it's giving governments the ability to connect and to provide a service with for all of their citizens in every nation. Well, in my estimation, that's exactly what's going to happen with the mark of the beast. They're going to come along and say, hey, you need to go to this community center, go to your local Walgreens or whatever it is to get this mark. And when you get the mark, it will do two things. It will enable you to buy and sell, and it will identify you as a worshiper of the man of Satan, the Antichrist himself. So those are just some of the signs of the times. There are more we could talk about, but that's another reason why Bible prophecy is so urgent right now. It's because we're living in the times of the signs, okay? And we're in this season. So be alert, my friend, and don't be naive. Be discerning and know what's going on around you, okay? So that's sign number four. I'm going to give you one more reason why Bible prophecy is so urgent in the next Vintage Truth podcast. I hope you'll tune in. Also, go to my website, subscribe to that newsletter, because I'm going to be sending you something here real, real soon. And watch for your spam inbox, because sometimes it goes there. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.